it on. If you don't have a Bible, never read a Bible, never taken the opportunity to read the Bible, God's Word, copy of an extract from the Bible is offered to you this afternoon. It's yours to take free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. It's offered to you freely. Take and do with as you will. But it is, of course, the means and the sole means by which you can come to the wisdom of God's salvation. A day and generation of God's wrath, His displeasure upon you as a nation. Word of God, you see. Book, of course, that's, they tell me, it's still the best seller, but obviously the least read and certainly not believed. But the Bible is the sole means by which you can find your way to God, not by reason, not by scientific means. Can a man, can a woman find their way to God? It's by revelation. By revelation alone. And of course that comes from God. Having exchanged the truth for a lie and believed the biggest and the greatest lie that's ever been told you. Left in darkness with futile reasoning, with no sense of God and no favor of God, without God and without hope in this world and for the world to come. So I bid you this afternoon to hearken to God's word, to listen, to pay heed, come to warn you, to flee from the wrath to come. Judgment of God, the Bible tells us. Wrath, the displeasure of God, is being revealed already against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The curse that's present with you, and manifestly so. For the day is coming when God will judge all men in righteousness. Day when Jesus Christ says that you shall give account for every careless word that you speak. Day of accountability. Chance whether you believe it, like it, it's of no consequence at all. That day is coming, and all men shall give an account to God for that which you have done in the body, for your nature in sin, and of course, your practice in sin. But this is the gospel, that those who fly into the arms of Jesus shall be saved. For Christ died for the ungodly. That's the gospel. Not religion, not your world religions, Islam, Buddhists, Romanists, Confucianists, all the same, wicked unbelievers, just the same as you who are godless and atheistic. Unbelievers to a man, to a woman, and lost in your sin, contrary to God and your nature, born in sin, conceived in sin. From your mother's womb you've been a sinner. And right to this very day, lost from God and lost for all eternity unless you repent and believe the gospel. Gospel, the good news, is about a person. That person is Jesus Christ, God's Son. In Him, all the wisdom of treasures, wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Him. Without Him, you can know nothing. Without Him, you cannot do your science, your logic, philosophy. Without Him, you can know nothing. Absolutely nothing at all. Evolution is not only a lie, it's a myth, it's a fairy tale dreamed up by godless thinking men who are no more scientific than you or I are. God-hating men. But of course that's what we all are, born into this world. Natural-born God-haters. Unless that is, you become a supernatural-born God-lover. Unless you're born again, says Jesus, you'll never see, never perceive, never understand the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. Some in substance of God's law, Jesus tells us, is that you should love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Your hatred for God is manifest in your slaughter of one another. All over your world, men and women slaughtering one another, slaughtering men and women made in the image of God. Just another expression of your hatred for God. You hate your fellow man because he's in the image of God. And you rage against your fellow man because you hate God. Just another expression of that entrenched, inborn hatred that you have for your Maker. You're not subject to His law, nor can you be until you've been born again. Love God, burdensome to you. Commandments of God are an anathema to you because your Maker is an anathema to you. Do not have Him to rule over you. So you suppress the truth. You know that God is. You know He exists. Every man, woman, child here, this marketplace this afternoon, knows that God is. You know He exists. God says He has made it plain to you. He has shown it to you. God says you even understand it. First thing a child knows when it's born, before it knows anything else, it knows that God is. But of course you suppress that truth in unrighteousness. And you'll use any means at your disposal. You'll use godless religion. You'll use your Islam. You'll use your Roman Catholicism, your Buddhism. You'll use all these world religions to suppress the truth about the true and living God. You're an Islamist. You know that that's false religion. You know that God is. You know the true and living God. But you know Him in displeasure. You know Him in wrath. You must repent. You must repent of your suppression of the truth and believe the gospel in order to know Him, in favor to know Him, in love and in salvation. Suppressing the truth about God, you use the means of religion. You use Darwin, Dawkins, or any other daft philosopher Anybody who supplies you with the notion that there is no God, doesn't matter, been proved time and time again that evolution is false. Even the propagators of it, even the cleverest of them, acknowledge it's a lie, it's a myth, they tell you. But the alternative, we do not want to know, because you hate the alternative, God Himself. That's why you suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You don't want there to be a God. You can't find God for the same reason a thief can't find a policeman. Wishful thinking, self-deception is called. You do all the things that you do in the world. You have knowledge of the world. Why? Because God's revealed it to you. You do science. Huh? Because God has revealed knowledge to you. You couldn't do it otherwise. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus Christ. He speaks as God in the Bible. Jesus Christ is Lord. And He speaks with the highest authority that there is. Without Him you could know nothing, do nothing. You couldn't do your science, your logic, philosophy. You couldn't do nothing without the revelation of God. But of course you use that knowledge. You use it wrongly, suppressing the truth in unrighteousness and ungodliness. Think about it, will you? If evolution is true, if it is scientific, it's not. But if it were, if evolution were true, all you are is just a piece of chemical fizz. That's all you are. How can a piece of chemical fizz know anything? How can a piece of chemical fizz think? How can it be intelligent? How can it be moral? Huh? How can you do science with a piece of chemical fizz that comes out of some primordial sludge? What foolishness! Huh? Once there was nothing, absolutely nothing, not even enough to make an explosion. But there was an explosion, you say. Just happened. Just an accident. Just a random thing. And it produced matter. And then after a few billion years, doesn't matter how many, just pluck a number out the sky. Any number you care to number. And after those billions of years, that matter became intelligent. Then a few more billion years, and that matter became moral. Pray tell me, you got some faith, people, if you can believe that. I've got a God who did all that. 6 days, He made the heavens and the earth, created everything. Oh, people, evolutionary nonsense, a lie out of the very pit of hell to blind you to the reality of your Maker, your God, and the One who would be your Redeemer, your Savior, if you would but repent and believe the Gospel. How, pray tell me, can you do science in a universe that evolution tells you is always changing? You can do science if the universe was always changing. You believe the sun came up yesterday morning, came up this morning? Do you think it'll come up tomorrow morning? Of course it will, you say. How do you know that? Because there's uniformity in nature. That's how. There's rules. And all these planets, galaxies, your world remains exactly in the place where your maker put it. There's uniformity in nature because God put it there. Laws come out of an intelligent mind, not random fizzes out of primordial sludge. There's uniformity in nature, of course there is. And the universe is unchanging. That's why you can do science. You could not do it otherwise. And I ask you, can you have morality? How can you have a sense of common decency even, if all you are is just a piece of primordial sludge, chemical fizz? How can you expect there to be law and order? If evolution, godless evolution, is true, what do you need policemen for? What do you need judges for? What do you need courts for? What do you need prisons for? If evolution is true, should an atheist at least be consistent to what you believe? Get rid of your morality. German philosopher, 100 years ago, by the name of Nietzsche, berated his English fellow atheists. Get rid of your morality, he said. That comes out of Christianity. You can't be an atheist and cling to your morality. Get rid of it, he said. Well, at least he was consistent. That's more than you are. You say there's no God. You live like there's no God. You profess to be atheists, but you live totally inconsistent. What's wrong with one man murdering another? What's wrong with a man raping a woman? Isn't that just the survival of the fittest? Isn't that what you believe? Isn't that what you cling to in your sin, in your unrighteousness, in your ungodliness? Isn't that what you cling to? The hope that there is no God? But of course, you still expect there to be law and order. You still expect the police to come to your door when your house is burgled or your life's threatened. You still expect nasty people to be banged up in prison for doing wrong. Well, how can you expect that if there's no God? Because if there's no God, if evolution is true, then morality, your morality has to go. You don't get morality from a piece of chemical fizz, which is all you are, if evolution is true. But of course it's not. It's just the wishful thinking of ungodly men. Those who popularized it, Darwin and his bulldog Huxley, were ungodly men, God-hating men. Not one of them were scientists. They were philosophers. Fallen reasoning, just the same as you. But science took hold of it. Why? Because the world in unbelief was looking for some, any excuse to get rid of God so that you could live in the filth and muck and mire and vomit of sin. And that now has become your most popular religion in your nation today. Godless evolutionism. Don't be telling me you're not religious. You are, to a man, to a woman, every single one of you. You see, I don't believe that there's a God. I'm not religious. It's what you believe, want to believe, wish to believe. Not what you can prove, just what you want to be true. It's your religion, you see. It's what you believe. It's your faith. You worship the God of evolution. And the result of it is that you're lost in darkness with fallen reasoning, thinking. And so therefore God says to you, come now and let us reason together. Will your sins be as scarlet? They shall be as white as snow. Bring your wrong reasoning, your wrong thinking. Bring it to God's Word, to the Bible, to God's revelation. Think God's thoughts after Him. Not your reasoning, God's reasoning. My ways and my thoughts are higher than yours, says God. Much, much higher. Repent, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thinking. Where all the bad and wicked stuff in your world comes from is lamb slaughtering throughout the world. Wrong thinking, wrong thinking. Atheistic thinking, murdering and slaughtering just the same way. Wrong thinking. Out of the heart, the mind, Jesus says, come evil thoughts, and those evil thoughts turn into evil actions. Thoughts of murder, immorality of a sexual kind, theft and blasphemy, false ideas of men, your mythology of evolution, all these false ideas, false religions, false philosophies, they come out of the minds of men, warped and twisted and broken. Nuts, why you live in a world that's broken, warped and twisted? And there is but one answer, and that is repentance. Faith towards Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Kingdom of God is at hand, he says. Repent and believe the gospel. The good news, that is, concerning Jesus Christ. A person, not a religion. Son of God, prove to be the Son of God by the power of his resurrection from the dead. And people, what did he do? He died on a Roman cross. Contrary to the book of Islam. Their Quran tells them the Bible is the Word of God, but they don't believe the Word of God. Bible will tell you, instruct you, the pathway to forgiveness, only pathway to forgiveness, is through the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Prophet Moses said that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. God has provided a blood sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You read it in the Injil, in the Gospels. God's Son sacrificed on a Roman cross so that you might be forgiven. Do you know where, who to go to in order to find forgiveness? That day when your conscience is awakened, and it surely must be, albeit in the day of judgment, but I hope for your sake before then that you might be saved. Come to tell you these things, warn you, not because I hate you, because I love you. Love you, want you to be saved. You can only be saved through Jesus Christ. Only be saved through repentance and faith towards Jesus Christ. No salvation in any other name, the Bible says. He died for sinners. Died that your conscience might be pacified in that day when God awakens it. Tell you people, You get a sight of your sin, just a glimpse of it, you'd swim shark-infested waters to get to Jesus Christ, because He alone can save you from it. Bible people, gospel recorded for you, Christ died for the ungodly, spilled His blood in order that you might be washed and made clean. Nowhere to go. Jesus, only one, the one who made peace by the blood of His cross. But that peace must be received willingly, consciously, deliberately by you. And you receive that peace when you receive the Son of God. To as many as received Him, to them He gave the power, the right, the authority to become children of God, as opposed to children of disobedience. Christ died, and who did He die for? Didn't die for everybody. You'll not all be saved. Safe to say, I think, in this generation of God's wrath, the majority of you, under the sound of my voice here this afternoon, you'll go out of the world the same way you came in. The way that you've lived in your sin, in the vomit of your sin, you'll go out the same way to a lost eternity, the damnation of hell. That's how the Bible describes it. I come to warn you. Churches around you won't tell you these things. Go to Longton and you'll find the women from the churches together in Longton. And they're there in the shopping centre giving out sweeties, because they think that giving you sweeties will put the love of God into your hearts. What foolishness! They hate you! They hate you! They don't love you! I come to warn you to fly from the coming wrath, because I love you. Because there's a day of God's wrath coming. His wrath is already upon you. Judgment is coming. The day of accountability. What do you think of a man who knows that his neighbor's house is on fire and his neighbor's asleep in his bed unaware? And that man does nothing. Just shrugs his shoulders and says, "Not my business." That's the churches around you, and the pattern is here today. He won't come and tell you these things. He won't stand here in the shopping centre and warn you to flee from the coming wrath. I tell you these things because I love you. If I was your neighbour, I wouldn't just knock on your door. I'd kick your door in and drag you out the flames. I wonder you can't smell the sulfur. I wonder you can't feel the flames of hell licking at your feet already. Damnation is written across your nation. And you're a part of that nation. And you're going down with it. Lest you repent and believe the gospel. Now you won't all be saved. Few of you, one or two maybe, but if in my time I can rescue one of you, that'll do. One soul saved from a lost eternity. No, Christ died for the ungodly, for those who know that they're ungodly, for those who repent of their ungodliness. People say, "What's ungodliness?" It's being contrary to God in your nature. It's the way you were born, conceived and born in sin. Natural born sinner. And so you naturally sin. You quite naturally they blaspheme God's name. It's habitual, isn't it? Can't stop it, can you? OMG! Nothing so inconsistent as an atheist. You know who talks more about God than Christians? Atheists! They can't leave him alone! They can't stop talking about God! Atheists! Totally inconsistent! An atheist! Atheism is a crutch for those who can't cope with the reality of God. Nah, people, absolutely inconsistent. You talk about God, you get in trouble, there's a crisis, and who's the first name on your lips? Oh my, yes, God. You can't leave his name alone. You use it to curse and to swear quite naturally because you're a natural born sinner. You fornicate and sodomize. You do all that filth in your nation here today. And you pollute your children and your grandchildren with your filth. You do it quite naturally. Comes quite naturally to you. Sinful parents get sinful children. Can't get any other kind. They're born after your likeness. And of course you quite naturally lie and covet and steal and do everything else that's contrary to God and to his commandments. That's what it means to be ungodly. And it's that Jesus Christ came to save, to die for such people. That ungodliness might change. And that you might be made a godly creature, a godly man, a godly woman. That you might be turned around. The Bible, God says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It's that turning, it's that repentance, you see, that is always towards faith. It's a believing repentance. A change of mind, you see, about God. Who he is and what he is. Change of mind about your sin, your involvement in it. A sorrow, a brokenheartedness, a contrition. That's the kind of attitude that God is pleased with, that he favors, you see. A change of mind about God's Son, Jesus Christ. Who he is, what he is, and what he came to do. To save ungodly people from their ungodliness, their suppression of the truth in unrighteousness. You see, there's something, there's somewhat to be saved from. You need to be saved from your fallen thinking, reasoning. You need to be saved from your sin and its consequences. Oh, the consequences of your sin is bad enough in this world, is it not? You would think that would be enough for you, would you not? You know, how it damages your health, the drugs, you know, legal and illegal, the drunkenness, you know, and the fornication, all the disease, I'm told, you know, that if we get rid of all the sexually transmitted disease, your National Health Service would recover overnight. You're polluted, plagued with sexually transmitted disease. You would think that the the consequences of your sin. You know, the broken marriages, broken relationships, illegitimate children, you know. Aye, the land's full of them. You see, the consequences of sin, it always, your master's sin, you see, always wants his pound of flesh. Yeah? Then, of course, there's the gluttony. You call it obesity, the Bible calls it gluttony, you know? And of course, that ravages your health as well. I mean, the consequences of sin in time in your life are bad enough. But that's not the end of it, is it? And of course, you know that. You know that. It's appointed for man to die once. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. That's why. But then that's not the end of it. After this, what comes next? Oh, you see, that's the end of the story then. Just a black hole. Unknown. Nobody ever came back from the dead to tell us. Yes, they did. Jesus Christ did. And he tells you in his word in the Bible. It's appointed for man to die once. And after this, then comes the judgment. The day and the time of accountability for your ungodliness. So you see, if there is something, there is much to be saved from. And that's why I tell you, and I will persist in telling you, as long as I've got the breath of life in my body, I will continue to tell you, to warn you, that unless you repent in the words of the Lord Jesus himself, you shall all of you, likewise perish. So people, listen up. God's word, full, final, authoritative, self-attesting word of God, Jesus Christ, bid you repent and believe the gospel, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And the only way a person, any man or woman, can enter that kingdom is in that way of repentance and faith towards God's Son, Jesus Christ. So, call upon the name of the Lord, God says, and you shall be saved from sin's penalty, dreadful, dreadful penalty. Saved from its power that holds you, its presence all around you and in you. Saved from sin and its ravages. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's here in God's book, in God's word. Copy. An extract from the Bible is offered to you. No charge, no cost, no obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. But it is God's word. Some people, sometimes I get them raging and crawling against what I'm seeing here in the town centre. I like them. I like them very much. There's more hope for them than there is for you lot here this afternoon. Because you know what the greatest danger to your soul is? You just couldn't care less. And that, my people, that is an attitude of heart and mind that God has given you over to. It's a damnable state of heart and mind when you're apathetic to these things. Give me a rager. give me an arguer any day of the week. At least that's the response to God. You? Well, I fear for you. I really, really do. I pray for you. I really